And the number of disciples multiplied greatly. That's Acts 6, verse 7. Now, this is the description through the entire book of Acts. In Acts 12, it says the very same thing. The word of God increased and multiplied. Acts 19, verse 20, the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. If you're not there yet, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. If you have a Pew Bible, it's on page 1088. But this is already happening from the very beginning. Jesus dies on the cross, rises again, and this new life changes the world. And the message, the gospel that is declared, transforms and multiplies greatly. Acts chapter 6, if you have your Bible open, you can just turn to chapter 6, verse 1. It says, now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, and we know that there was an issue in Acts 6, then by the time we get to verse 4 of Acts 6, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. This is the kind of church we want to be. We are devoting ourselves to prayer. Wednesday morning, 7:30, there is a prayer time. Wednesday even, 7 till 8 p.m., there's a prayer time. And now we've added a lunchtime prayer on Wednesdays. Wednesday is becoming a day of prayer. A lunchtime prayer is open to anybody who's walking by on the street. You can come and you can pray, I will be here. And from 1 till 3, every Wednesday afternoon, I want to be available. If anybody would like to come and pray, I will be here in the sanctuary. And Lord willing, that will expand to infill the entire day. I'm going to dedicate Wednesdays to be a day where I pray. I'll have my Bible open if nobody's here, and I'll pray through my sermon. I'm already starting to pray through the directory, and I've got a whole bunch of things by some of your names because you need a lot of prayer. There's probably more by my name. But God is doing this wonderful work in our lives, isn't he? You see the bulletin, or in the bulletin, we gave you a bookmark. I want you to pull that out on the back, on the bookmark on the front. It says one-to-one Bible reading and prayer. I'm going to have a two-week class. Over the next 2 weeks, immediately following the morning service, we're going to have time for coffee and a snack, of course. That's critical. And then right after that, we're going to go downstairs into the fellowship hall, and we will have a class on what is one-to-one Bible reading. It's that simple. It's smaller than a small group. It's finding a friend that you would grow spiritually, you'd pray and read God's word together. Why? Because we believe and are convinced that as the word of God increases, the number of the disciples will increase. That's Acts 6, when the number of disciples were increasing, verse 1. Verse 4, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And then in verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. I think those two things are connected. I believe in all the great revivals, when God has moved, it has begun with this devotion to prayer and God's word. Prayer and the faithful preaching and teaching of the gospel. And I believe that God is going to do this work in us. Remember when we studied Colossians? Chapter 3, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ dwells in me richly. That's Colossians 3. And then what happens in Colossians 4? Remember, pray, speak, live. You pray that God will open a door, Colossians 4, verse 2. Pray that God will open a door for his word. Because it's the word that as it increases, the number of disciples will increase. So you pray that God will open a door for his word. And then you live, and then you speak. So as the word of Christ dwells in me richly, in us richly, as we speak the gospel, the number of disciples will increase. I believe it. I believe that's what God is calling us to as a church. On the back of the bookmark for your Bible, we give you again our mission to make disciples of Jesus. He is the head of the church. He's already told us what the mission is. We have no right to come up with our own mission. It's his church. And Jesus said in Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them. What a wonderful thing we did this morning. And what is our foundation? This very sermon this morning, prayer and God's word. What is our motivation? That we actually love God and we love others. We are not just religious. We are not just good people. We are not just attending church. No, we actually love God. We love others. It's Matthew 22, the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then at the very bottom, our description of what a disciple looks like. It begins in worship, true worship, the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And then you're connected to the body, and as you're part of this body, you will grow as a Christian. And if you're growing, God has called you to serve. There's a place for you to serve in this body as we serve one another. And then finally, we will multiply and share the gospel with the world. I am fully convinced that as the word of God grows and increases in our lives, so will the number of disciples. So let's pray. Let's ask God to do this very thing. Ask him to do this work. We know it's his will. We will pray according to his will. And then we will submit to it and we will look at his word. Will you pray with me? Father, I am convinced that this is your method to reach our hearts and then through us to reach others. That as the word of God increases, not just our words, not all our convincing and philosophy and our ideas, where is the wise man? Where is the philosopher of this world? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? But since the wisdom of God is made known by the Spirit through your word, God, I pray this simple, simple prayer. I pray that your word would increase in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, that it would dwell in us richly. And then as your people, we would simply love those around us and live a life that is careful and loving and gentle. And then on our lips would be the gracious message of truth, that you would draw men to yourself. We pray for the increase of your word and the increase of disciples for your glory. And Father, we are convinced again this morning that you will speak to us a sermon with my name on it, with each heart that is in this room. Father, would you speak? And by your grace, we will listen. And we will follow. Have your way in us. Direct our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, our head, our master, and our Lord. Amen. Acts chapter 8, just the first 8 verses. If you have your Bibles, please follow along. And Saul approved of his execution. So you read that first verse and you think, okay, whose execution? This is right immediately following the execution of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Remember, he preaches this amazing sermon and he looks to heaven. You can see it in 7:55. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God and they rushed upon him. Verse 57, 58. They cast him out of the city and they stoned him. Stephen was put to death, and Saul approved of his execution. 8 verse 1. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging the church. And entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds, with one accord, paid attention to what was being said by Philip, when they heard him, and they saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And there was much joy in that city. The power of the gospel, the authority of Christ over the demonic world, the evidence of the truth of the very words that they spoke. The increase of the word of God in the book of Acts through the entire book is worth following. If you have opportunity, take some time. But it declares to us right from the very beginning that as Peter stood up and began to declare the gospel in Acts 2, if you want to turn in your Bibles, he calls people to repentance on the day of Pentecost. This great sermon in verse 38 of Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then it says in verse 41, and those who received his words, who accepted the word of God that was declared by Peter, were baptized. And they were added to that day about 3,000 souls. Wow. One day, truly the work of God. Purely the work of the Holy Spirit, convicting people as the gospel is preached, as the word of God is preached, and we absolutely know it's the work of God because of verse 47. They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It was the work of God, a miracle that declares you can be forgiven. This is the gospel. It is the work of God. We're only in chapter 2. And the church is already 3,000 people. Go to chapter 4 of Acts. In verse 1, and they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Verse 3, and they arrested them, and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Now they can imprison the messenger, but they cannot imprison the message. Look what happens in the next verse. And many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of men came to about 5,000 people. Then we come to Acts 6. 5,000 already, chapter 4. Then verse 1 of Acts 6, the disciples are increasing in number. So who even knows how many? If you read the commentaries, they tell you it was 5,000 men. There were still families, children, and women that were included. And the number is increasing. The church in Jerusalem is a mega church. It is this massive group of people by the power of the Holy Spirit who believe the gospel. And though there is a racial tension already in chapter 6, those who are giving leadership see the power of God through his word. They said it's not right for us to neglect the word of God, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And then in verse 7, the word of God continued to increase. So verse chapter 4, there was already 5,000 men. Chapter 6, verse 1, it's already been increasing since then. And because they understand it's the power of the gospel, the declaration of God's word that is increasing in prayer, they say, we will not be distracted. We will be devoted to God's word and prayer. And then verse 7, and the word of God continue to increase and spread. Here is the power of God. We are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Then something happens. Then Peter preaches. You can see in chapter 6, verse 10, they could not withstand the wisdom of the Spirit with which he was speaking. This is Stephen who is preaching. Stephen, as a deacon, is now declaring, and they cannot withstand his wisdom. He is filled with the Holy Spirit, it says in chapter 7, verse 55. Just like Peter. When Peter stood up at Pentecost, it said he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he declared to them this sermon of Acts 2. So what happens, what we expect is going to happen when Stephen preaches, there's going to be an even greater revival. But what happens in Acts 7? Persecution. It doesn't even tell us the results. They're upset. And you know what is amazing? If you go through Stephen's sermon, And you were here last Sunday, and we saw how, beginning with Moses, remember? Genesis with Moses, coming all the way through to Christ and the cross, and looking to Revelation, guess what? That is Stephen's sermon. Read Stephen's sermon. It's an amazing sermon. But it seems like nothing happened, except this persecution. Is it true that as the word of God increases, that the disciples will increase? I think it is. In fact, in these verses, I think there's three ways that we see that the word of God must increase. The first one is that the word of God must increase beyond the church to the world. You say, you know, when I come to church, my pastor's not really that great at telling stories or being a great orator. But when he preaches, he takes the Bible. And I know that I'm going to hear the Bible in church. But if we will see disciples increase, the first way that the word must increase is beyond the church. It must go out into the world. Now, this is not a simple people laughing at you because you're a Christian. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. There arose on that day a great persecution. Verse 3, Saul was ravaging the church, and he was dragging them off to prison. That's why they're scattered. It is so severe that people are truly running for their lives. They were all scattered. Has to go beyond just Jerusalem. And then my mind quickly runs to Acts 1, verse 8. Remember this? Jesus said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." What does it say? In Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now, this is easy to remember because that's the promise in Acts 1, verse 8. What do we find in Acts 8, verse 1? "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria." You see, why didn't they leave Jerusalem sooner? Things were amazing. God was doing incredible things. 5,000 by chapter 4, many more by chapter 6. They probably even quit counting. It was total revival time. But God had said that through the Old Testament, through Christ, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And though this wonderful work of God was happening in Jerusalem, the persecution caused the word to increase and spread powerfully into the world. It had to go beyond the church. It had to go out into the world. That's verse 1, Judea and Samaria. Now, even before we're out of chapter 8, there is an Ethiopian eunuch in verse 26. Philip is told to go down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And a court official from Ethiopia is in Jerusalem. Philip shares the gospel with him. He is baptized. And what is he doing? Is he from Judea or Samaria? No, the concentric circles are starting to happen. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world. That's the rest of the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul, all his missionary journeys. The word of God must increase beyond our church into the world. Romans 10 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How will they believe in whom they have not heard?" My dear friends, if you have ever prayed that your neighbors will come to Christ, if you have ever prayed that we would have a gospel witness here down in the Beltline with those around us, then in order for disciples to increase, the word of God must increase. It must be on our lips with those who are your neighbors in our lives. And that is the second way that the word must increase. Do you see it? It must increase not just beyond the church, but into the world. It must increase beyond the leaders into the lives of every single follower of Jesus. When was the last time that you shared the gospel? Look at in verse 1. They were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. In verse 4, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Every one of them, as they were scattered, they went out and they declared this gospel that they had heard that changed their lives. Why does it say that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem? The apostle Paul later on had this incredible missionary journey around the world. Why didn't God scatter the apostles as well? It doesn't tell us. Maybe they were the first ones that were dragged off, persecuted, thrown into prison, possibly. It doesn't tell us. But in order for the gospel to reach the world, it had to go beyond the 12 apostles. I think that unless we understand that the gospel must move beyond your pastor, beyond the staff of this church, beyond the people that are serving you, if you think that the pastor's job is your hired evangelist, you miss the point of Ephesians 4. God gave to the church pastors, evangelists, to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. All of us, the gospel on our lips, all of us, beyond the pastor, beyond the leaders, into every follower's life. If we will see the gospel take root, it must be in our hearts, the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. And it must be on our lips. How shall they hear? Who will I send? Acts is a powerful description. We say, you know, I want to see like the days of the New Testament church. I want God to bring 3,000 souls in one Sunday to our service. And it is his work. I would love it. But how God chooses to work is by his Spirit, through his word, in the lives of his people. It has to be beyond your leaders, into every single one of our lives. But it's his word. I love how it says in verse 4, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word, Philip. So Philip is just one of those who were scattered. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Now we know this is not the Philip who is a disciple. We know this is Philip likely from chapter 6 who is one of the deacons. Because all the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Philip went down to Samaria and he proclaimed to them Christ. And that's the third way the word of God must increase. It must increase beyond the church into the world. It must increase beyond the leaders into all of our lives. And it must increase specifically to preach Jesus. If you were here last Sunday, I know that I tried to do too much in the sermon. We started in Genesis, we ended in Revelation. But the whole message is about Christ, our Redeemer. Remember when we shared communion? There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. And here, as they speak the word, Philip is described as the one who's proclaiming Christ. That is the word. It's the word about Christ. And the power of the gospel in the rest of these verses, and the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. They paid attention to Jesus. And when they heard him and he saw the signs that he did, God did miraculous wonders. Unclean spirits cried out in loud voices and came out of those who had them, the authority and the power of the name of Christ over the demonic world. Those who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And no kidding, verse 8, there was much joy in that city. If you follow through the book of Acts, you can see that as they declared the gospel, God would validate the message by doing all kinds of miraculous signs and wonders. And God is still able to do that today. It's still God who decides, and we pray for healing. We ask God to move. We do not force his hand. But ultimately, it is those who are brought to faith in our hope of eternity. He causes us to be born into a living hope. So the word must increase beyond the church. We are devoted to God's word and prayer in this church. But we must bring that word to the world. And it must increase beyond just leaders. Those 12 apostles could not reach the world like those who were scattered. And thirdly, it must increase specifically about Jesus. Even the most antagonistic, even those we've long written off, they're too hard-hearted to receive the gospel. You know why I believe that? Because the apostle Paul was Saul in this passage. He was persecuting the church. He was trying to squelch it and stop it. And maybe those who are our greatest power against us in the gospel are the very ones that will be turned. You know what comes next, don't you? Acts 9. Just look over the page. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters in the synagogues of Damascus. He is not only persecuting in Jerusalem, the persecution is spreading to Damascus. And if God is behind this, then God said that they would go into all the world to the ends of the earth. And God is spreading the word even farther. Here's amazing. I want you to turn to Acts verse 16. I could take you through the entire book. I want to take you to one place. Look at Acts 16, verse 6. Just flip over. This is one example of how the word continues to increase way beyond Jerusalem. Acts 16, verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Pamphylia. This is Paul and Timothy, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Is that not surprising to you? Why would God, by the Holy Spirit, they were going to be witnesses in the entire world. And here in chapter 6, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God in Asia. And when they come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Isn't that amazing? Why? Not forbidden to speak the word in Asia. Now go to chapter 19. And it happened, verse 1, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Then down the end of verse 4, telling the people to believe in the one who had come after him, that is Jesus. Verse 8, and he entered the synagogue, and for 3 months he spoke boldly and reasoned and persuaded them about the kingdom of God. But some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way. Before the congregation, he withdrew from them, he left the synagogue, and then he took his disciples with him, and he reasoned daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Wow! It was a matter of timing. It was supposed to go to all the world, and somehow something happens between chapter 16 and chapter 19. Look at chapter 18, verse 5. What happens between those chapters in chapter 18, verse 5? And when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. If you read this in the New American Standard, it says, Paul devoted himself completely to God's word. So there was this commitment to say, I'm giving myself fully to God's word. And then God opened the door for them to speak in Asia. Verse 10, chapter 19, verse 10. This continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now, we don't know how this happened. They may have come, and it might have been a two-year kind of Bible school, and while they were there, they were trained up and then sent out all over Asia. Or they may have come from all over Asia to hear Paul preach over those 2 years. But look at chapter 19, go down to verse 18. End of 17, the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. 18, also, many of those who were now believing came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together, and they burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found them to come to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. So, Lord, do this in us. Do this in us. Will you pray with me? Father, what a wonderful thing is. We saw these baptisms this morning. We heard the testimony of all three. I love how Daniel started. I've surrendered my life to Jesus, and I encourage you to do the same. Each testimony, clearly a follower of Christ. Father, stir our hearts in these moments that this is the word of Christ, the hope of the gospel, the truth and the understanding of forgiveness and new life with living hope. And Father, would you increase the disciples in First Baptist Church? But would you let it begin? Would you let it begin with me? Father, all around this room, I pray that that's our prayer. That each one would say, Father, let it begin with me. Let your word dwell in me richly. I devote myself to prayer and your word. And then let that word be on our lips. That your very word would increase beyond the church into the world. That your very word would increase beyond the leaders into the lives of every follower. That your word would increase as we declare Jesus, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.